man who attempts to keep the commandments of God from a sense of obligation merely because he's required to do so will never enter into the joy of obedience. He does not obey. When the requirements of God are considered a burden because they cut across human inclination, we may know that the life is not a Christian life. True obedience is the outworking of a principle within. It springs from the love of righteousness, the love of the law of God. The essence of all righteousness is loyalty to our Redeemer. This will lead us to do right because it is right, because right doing is pleasing to God. Christ's Object Lessons, page 97, paragraph 3. God is good, and all the time. How are you? I says, I can't see the smiles, but I can see them reflecting in your eyes. Thank you very much. You know, smiles, anytime someone smiles genuinely, you see it in the eyes. You really do. Because a true smile is not simply exposing teeth. A true smile is light that comes out of the heart and shines on the face. And so a mask cannot hide the light in your eyes. It's good to see you. God bless you. How many of you love Jesus? Can I see your hand? You love Jesus? All right. You love him. I love him too. I'll put up both hands. I welcome those of you on the internet, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you are. And I thank God for the technology that allows us to fellowship this way. I can come to your country without a passport, without having to buy a ticket. It gives us some insight into how the gospel shall go to all the world when we get ourselves ready to cooperate with God. So I thank God for the good side of technology. It also has a very, very dark side. On the internet, I know we have those guests. Thank you so much for joining us. We are always delighted and honored by your presence, and may the Lord signally bless your life as you worship with us today. I welcome all the countries represented by the audience. I have no clue as to where you're from, or how many I should say, but wherever you are, the love of God can reach you. Wherever you are, the truth of God is reaching you. And so thank you very much for joining us. And may God bless the leaders of those countries, that their decisions will allow the gospel to go forward as we come closer and closer to the certain return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming back. This is something that has to be told even to church members. You can become, or I, so consumed with surviving from day to day that the last thing on your mind is that Christ is coming back. And so from time to time, we must revisit the biblical teaching from Genesis to Revelation that Jesus Christ, the one who said, "Let there be light," the one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life," the one who said, "It is finished," he is coming back more surely than Christmas is coming in a few months. Genesis chapter 2. Let's read verse 9. Let's read from 7 to make a connection. You can't go wrong reading the Bible a lot, but combine reading with obedience. Genesis chapter 2, we'll read 7 to 9. You have Genesis 2, 7? All right. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed or made. Verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Within the first three chapters of Genesis, three trees are identified by name. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life, what's the third one? I'm not going any further until you tell me the third one. What's the third tree mentioned by name? I know my friends on the internet have the answer. What's the third tree mentioned by name in the first three chapters of Genesis? All right. The first one is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the fig tree from which Adam and Eve made aprons of leaves. Three trees mentioned by name in the Garden of Eden. Our focus today is the one called the tree of life. Look at verse 9 again. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What was the purpose of the tree of life? Let's read the verse again. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was a source of food. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. We'll read from verse 1. Our subject, come and get it. Revelation 22, reading from verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. We're informed in Revelation that the tree of life mentioned in Genesis bore several kinds of fruit, all good for food. Now, there was no need for the healing of the nations before sin, but that will take place when we get to the new world, because in the new world, we have to grow up. Are you following me? No, you're not. Let me explain why. Adam was big and tall. Elohim says he was about 12, 15 feet, more than twice the height of men living today. His head would extend above a basketball rim. Sin has made us dwarfs. Are you following me? Are you following me? I'll tell you something else that has made us dwarfs. Eating meat. I can give you the quotation, but I don't want to distress you too much. Eating meat was allowed by God to shorten life. Because God never wanted sinners to live long. I know you're sorry you came this afternoon, but you can't go anywhere. You're stuck. Stay exactly where you are. Eating meat was permitted by God to shorten life. All right, let me not press my luck. Let me move on. The tree of life was designed for food. All right, we know that. But it's called the tree of life. Let's go to Genesis 3. We'll read from verse 22 to get another clue about this tree of life. Our subject, come and get it. Genesis 3, reading from verse 22. The Lord God said, behold, a man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and do what? And eat and live forever. Now, in a way the Bible does not explain, Adam in his sinful state after he sinned, if he had eaten of that tree of life, he would have lived forever. You didn't hear what I said. Let me say it differently. Sin produced sickness, disease, all sorts of things. If Adam had eaten of that tree after he had sinned, he would have lived forever. Can you imagine someone blind forever? With heart disease forever? A paraplegic forever? A quadriplegic? These are the results of sin. Forever. Can you not see the mercy of God in putting Adam out of the garden? Out from reach of that tree of life. So therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, verse 24, and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God did not want Adam the sinner to live forever. By the way, let me digress again. The Bible teaches us very early in Genesis that sinners are not supposed to live forever. So churches who teach that sinners who lost will burn forever have never read Genesis 3, 22 to 24. Listen again. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and live forever, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, get him away from that tree. I do not want a sinner living forever. When someone preaches, the lost will burn forever, you know it's not a biblical teaching. The tree of life was designed to perpetuate the life God gave to Adam before Adam sinned. Let me say it again. The tree of life, I'll say differently, in order for Adam to continue to live, he had to eat of the tree of life. Let's go back to Revelation 22. We read verse 2. Revelation 22, verse 2, our subject, come and get it. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. What does that mean? In the new world that Christ will make, Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Isaiah 66, verse 22, for as the heavens and the new heavens and the earth which I shall make shall remain, as the Bible teaches, when God destroys this earth, he will remake it. In this new world, we'll have the tree of life again. 12 different fruits every month is what the text seems to be saying. Some Bible scholars say one different fruit every month, 12 months of the year. Some say 12 different fruits every month. Whatever the arrangement is, I want to see it. Can you say amen? I want to eat from a tree that produces 12 different kinds of fruits at the same time. Only God can do that. All right, now. So we have to eat in that new world. Clearly then, eternal life or immortality is not a state in which you are separated from God. You can live forever. You don't need God. Mm-mm. Wherever there is life, there's a connection to God. Let me explain it differently. Nothing can live except by God's say-so. The fallen angels are alive by God's permission. Satan is alive by God's permission. The unfallen angels in heaven, from Gabriel down to the lowest angel, they are alive by God's permission and God's sustaining power. And God mediated that sustaining power through the tree of life. And Adam and Eve were to eat it. We were to eat it if Adam and Eve had remained faithful to God and not sinned. But we know they sinned, and we know the rest of the story. Listen to Jesus. Go to John 14. Let's read verse 6. Our subject, come and get it. Let me pray. Father, as I continue, dear God, restrain my carnal nature. And let my one urge be to lift you up through the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John 14, reading from verse 6, or just verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Stop. Question for you. Did Jesus become the life only when he came to this earth? When was Jesus the life? From eternity, whoever said that, God bless you. When was Jesus the truth? From eternity. When was Jesus the way? From eternity. When he said in his humanity, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was that life before he came to this earth, shackled, limited by humanity, and dependent on the Father, but still God. Go to John 11, verse 25. You know it very well. What did Jesus say to Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. How long was he the life? From eternity. When did he become the resurrection? When death was made necessary by sin. Go to John 5. Read 39 and 40. Our subject, come and get it. John 5, 39 and 40. And God bless you for loving his word. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have what? Eternal life. And they are they that do what? Testify of me. Verse 50. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Go to 1 John chapter 5. John chapter 5. 1 John, sorry. Chapter 5, towards the back of the Bible. We'll read verse 11. And we'll read verse 12. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. Our subject, come and get it. And this is the record that God hath given to us what? Eternal life. Finish the verse. And this life is where? In his Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son, come on, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not. That's a powerful verse. Every word is just one syllable. Verse 12, a monosyllabic statement of the most profound significance. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Every word, one syllable. How much simpler can the word of God be? Jesus Christ is life. Let's go to John 6. John 6. Read verse 48. You have John 6, 48? John 6, verse 48. You have it now? I am that bread of life. Notice the contrast in verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat and not die. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am life, I am life, I am life. Now, having established that, Jesus is life. Not simply has life, Jesus is life. How do I explain that? I can't. I accept it by faith because the word of God says that. Now, we have the tree of life. That tree was a symbol, finish my words, of Jesus Christ. Because Christ, the Creator, is the only source of life. Are you following me? We're not discounting Father and Holy Spirit. We're not discounting them. Christ, the Creator, is for creation the source of life. The tree of life was a symbol of Jesus Christ, and by eating of that tree, Adam and Eve got life. Not really from the tree, finish my words, but from Christ or God. Mm-hmm. You see, there cannot be two sources of life, God and someone else. It's God alone. So when Adam and Eve consumed the fruits of the tree of life, they were receiving the life of God, but through that tree. Is that clear? Nobody said yes. Is that clear? You can still speak through your mask. All right. Now, Adam sinned. Are you with me? Let's go back to Genesis 3, verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. God put him out. By the way, the Hebrew word for drove out can also mean divorce. There was a divorce. Christ came to bring them back together. Are you following me? The Hebrew word for drove out can also mean divorce. But the instant the divorce took place, or the sin occurred, Christ stepped in to fix that breach between God and his people. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now Adam no longer had access to that tree of life. But without Christ, you can't live. Not physically, not spiritually. Without access to the tree of life, which was to perpetuate life forever and ever if Adam had not sinned, how do we access that life spiritually? Let us go to John 6 again. Our subject, come and get it. You'd be surprised how close it is. Very few come to get it. John 6. Read from verse 51. Let's go back to 48. I am that bread of life. Now, when you hear bread, what physical activity is required for bread to be of value to you? You have to eat it. Christ is using symbolism that involves eating. You must eat this bread of life in order for the life to enter into you. Are you following me? All right. Let's go to 51 now. Well, no, let's stay in let's go to 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Meaning, the manna itself, are you with me, did not preserve life. They consumed it and they died. But the manna represented Jesus Christ spiritually. The rock from which the water came represented Jesus Christ spiritually. Because as Christ is manna, he's also that water. He's also the light. He's the way. He's the shepherd. Are you with me? He's the true vine. Christ uses all symbols familiar to his audience then to let them know that he must be everything to them. All right. Let's go to verse 51 of John chapter 6. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. So we have life and we have bread, the living bread. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Even in this sinful world, Christ says, if you eat of this bread, you live forever. You will have eternal life. Let me tell you, in case it slips my mind, to say it directly. You can have eternal life right now. Actually, that's the way God arranged it. You and I, my friend listening by the internet, on the internet, YouTube, Facebook, you can have eternal life right now. And the Bible tells us what to do to preserve eternal life. Verse 52, the Jews, well, let's finish 51. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They did not understand what Jesus was saying. What did Jesus tell them in verse 53? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life. Flesh and blood means a human being. Flesh and blood means a person. Jesus says, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life. Now, Christ, of course, is not promoting cannibalism. This is what outraged the Jews in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? A Jew would never eat human flesh, would not drink blood. They were very, very, careful about certain dietary behaviors. I wish they were more certain, careful about the Word of God. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. Go to verse 63 of John 6. Jesus is trying to explain what he means. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now Jesus said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, verse 53, and drink his blood, ye have no life. Now Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are life. What is Christ saying? The life that Adam received by eating from the tree of life before he sinned is available to us through the Word of God. Let me say it again. The life Adam received on an ongoing basis as he continued to eat of that tree day after day before he sinned, that life given through that tree is given to us through the Word of God. Because the life that sustained the sinless Adam is the life Christ died to restore to us. Are you with me? God doesn't have two different kinds of life. He is life. And that life is now available to us through the Word of God. And as Adam was required to eat of that tree day in and day out in order for us to have the life of Christ and be nourished by that life, we must eat of this bread every day. Let me shock you a little bit. Failure to eat of the tree of life will result in an eventual cessation of that person's life. You didn't get it? I said it clumsily. Let me go back to Adam. Let's assume Adam never sinned. Is that clear? He never sinned. Fine. If he had stopped eating of the tree of life, his life would have eventually ended. In the new world, we're also required to eat of that tree of life. We must demonstrate our dependence on some other source for life. Am I getting through? You think so? Let me say it again. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all talk about Jesus, so repetition is good. In the new world, that sinless environment, we are required to eat constantly of the tree of life. That's how that life is maintained. By eating, we show dependence on some other source, some other person for life. It is not life of our own. It is life given to us. And so in the new world, we must eat. You're not immortal to the point where you no longer need God. All life flows from God, originates with God, and belongs to God, whether in sin or after sin. And so I am saying, before that new world comes today, in order to show our dependence on God, we eat this bread. What's that bread? You tell me. The Word of God. This is the bread that gives life to the world. This is the living bread that we're to eat by study and obedience. Let's stay in John 6. Let's go to 54 of John 6. Let me pray. Father, please give me all the help you're willing to give me because I need it. Do that, Father, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, finish the verse, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, there are some things in the Bible I cannot explain. Jesus says, if you eat this, I'll just read it like a poem, believe it, obey it, you have eternal life now. But Jesus said, I'll raise him up at the last day. This is a mystery to me, that someone who has eternal life still has to be raised up. I don't understand how that functions. All I know is the person who eats this has eternal life now, a quality of life that is the very life of Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ have that life on this earth? Yes. Did he die? Yes. Did he come up? Yes. That will be our experience. We have the life of Christ now. We die? Yes. We come up like he came up. Somebody say amen. But we must have this in us. Jesus had the Father's word in him. Let's take a look at that. Let's go to verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, this is the flesh. Listen to verse 56 again. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, by the word, dwelleth in me, and I in him. You want Jesus in you? Tell me how. Put his word in you. He that eateth my flesh. When you leave home in the morning without Bible study, all day, no time for the Bible. At night, too tired, go to bed. Next day, the same thing. You are endangering your relationship with Christ. Look at verse 57 now. As the living Father have sent me. Read the next few words. And I live how? By the Father. My third favorite was think. Please think. We have Jesus and the Father. We have Jesus and you. Jesus, the Father. Jesus, the believer. If that's clear, say amen. All right. Listen to 57. We have all four in that verse. Jesus the Father, Jesus the believer. As the living Father have sent me, that's Jesus and the Father. And I, that's Jesus, live by the Father, that's Jesus and the Father again. So, he, that's the believer, that eateth me, the believer in Jesus, even he, the believer, finish the verse, shall live by me. We have the believer and Jesus, the believer and God. Now, listen to me carefully. Here's how this formula works. Whatever operates between Jesus and the Father, tell me what I'm about to say. Ah, God bless you. Operates between Jesus and the believer. As Auntie said, let me repeat, please. You tell me. Who's on this side? Tell me. God, the Father, and Jesus. Who's on this side? Jesus and the believer. Jesus said, verse 57, read microscopically, as the living, what do you mean by as? The same way. We have as and so. Are you with me? Now, as the living Father has sent me, Father and me, and I live by the Father, Father and me, twice. So he lived by the Father. We have to find out how. We go over this side. So. What does so mean? Same way. So. He that eateth me. By saying that, what was Jesus saying about him and his Father? That he did what? Yes, he would eat of the Father. Listen again. Read the Bible microscopically. As the living, and I have to repeat, because I can't assume you get it immediately. As the living Father have sent me, Jesus and the Father, and I live by the Father, the same way he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Jesus is saying, as you eat me to live, I have to eat the Father to live. But how does that happen? The words that I speak unto you. Jesus lived by his Father's word. In his humanity, this was what sustained him. And he says to us, it's no different between you and me. In your humanity, I sustain you. As in my humanity, the Father sustained me. And so tonight, the Holy Ghost is saying to you and to me, come and get it. Come get the life. This is life. The Word of God. It's not hard to establish, it is life. How did Jesus raise Lazarus? By the word. How did Jesus make the fish? By the word. How did Jesus rebuke demons? By the word. By the word. How does he forgive sins? Thy sins are forgiven. What's that? The word. Let me tell you something. It's a public secret. God does nothing outside of his word. Because Jesus is the word. Are you with me? Everything God does, he does through Jesus. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, or the A and the Z. Everything God does, he does through his word. And so he gives to us the word. This is something I've said many times. I'll probably say it many times more. You know, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem and die. In Mark chapter 9, he said, I must go to Jerusalem and die. In Mark chapter 10, I must go to Jerusalem and die. The disciples never got it. So if I say something several times, the Holy Ghost is telling me, say it, they have not yet gotten it. Pray one more time before I close. Father, as I come to the close of come and get it, please, Father, let my voice be yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We just agreed. The animals by the word of God. Everything by the word of God. It only makes sense that the only way to live in an environment that came into existence by the word of God is to live by the word of God. You go on a basketball court, you don't wear a helmet and pads. Are you following me? You do that on a football field. You follow the principles for basketball. You go to the beach to swim, you don't wear a three-piece suit. Are you following me? You come into a pulpit, you don't wear a bikini. You live in a world created by the word, you live by that word. And so tonight, the Spirit of God says to you and to me, come and get it. What are we coming to get? Give me one word, starts with an L. Life. Listen to me. I keep saying listen to me. Come and get life. You're not required to understand all the details. Just trust the word. He that hath the Son hath life. John 5:40. He will not come to me that ye might have life. I am the resurrection and the life. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. And Jesus says, when I'm not in you, my word is not in you. Come and get it by a recommitting of your life to God. And making a decision right now to make time for life. This is life. Say it again. This is life. One more time. This is life. What does the Spirit say to you now? Come and get it. This is no idle talk. This is life and death. Come and get it. But the Bible has a verse that's so sad. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Light is life. Men love darkness rather than light. If light is life, darkness is death. The Bible says, all they that hate me love death. Proverbs 8:36, all they that hate me love death. Tonight the Spirit says, come and get it. Get life. How many of you will say, Father, I recommit my life to you and I ask you to come into my life, come into my heart? How many will say that again? Can I see your hand? Say it with me as I say it in my own heart. Stand up with me, please. Those of you on the internet, make that recommitment. Ask Christ to come into your life. He comes by the word. Here's some brotherly recommendations. Before you sleep tonight, can you take 10 minutes? Read a portion of scripture. Think about it. I recommend something from John. Because John tells us the reason why he wrote the book. He wrote the book that anyone who reads it would come to Jesus Christ. That's his reason. Take 10 minutes. That's all. Consider the fact that whatever your age, 40, 50, 20, every second of your life is a gift from God. Consider that. Now, give him 10 minutes tonight. That's not unreasonable. Take a passage. Let's say John 3:16. For you say, God bless you. You take that and you think, for God so loved the world. You think, literally think, that he gave his only, he had one of a kind. If someone came to you and said, can you give me a car? If you have three, you may say, hey, take this one. This one is 47 years old. Take that one. If you only got one car, you said, no, I can't give you a car. I've only got one. I have no clothes. Can you give me a shirt? I've only got one. I can't give you my shirt. God says, I've got one. Here, you take it. I've got one spoonful of ugali left. You eat it. You eat it. I have one cup of water left. You need it? You take it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. Then you ask yourself, Father, do I really believe in Jesus? Do I really believe he can change my life? Is Jesus the focus of my life? Whosoever believeth in him, and you're thinking, shall not perish. What does perish mean? That's hell. The most popular verse in the Bible contains hell, but have everlasting life. And you think without interruption from family or friends, for God so loved the world. And you try to define the word so. How much is that? That he gave, without having to be asked, his only begotten Son. That's the bread of life. That's the word. Take it in. Pray. Then hit the sack. Don't go watch TV. Make this the last thing you do. First thing in the morning, 10 more minutes. This is not extreme. Take another verse. Read it. Meditate. Think. And I mean think. Pray. Go on about your business. I will not ask you for a show of hands, but I will appeal to you as your brother. Make that commitment for God. If you do it sincerely, you will find your 10 minutes will become 15. Because your attitude will change. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the word of God. The life from the tree of life that Adam enjoyed before sin is available to us through the word. Because that tree symbolized Jesus. The word is the very life of Christ. The bread, a symbol of Christ. The water, a symbol of Christ. The vine, a symbol of Christ. And he tells us, eat the bread, which is his word. Dear God, that word has life, and that life is the very life of Christ. Tonight we've stood to say, we've come to get it. Dear God, let not doubt creep into the hearts of your children, Father. Let them believe that when they receive the word, they have received the life of Christ. Let us leave this church believing we have received that life when we recommitted our lives to him. Give us a peaceful night's rest, dear God. Let Christ be the last thought on our mind. And the first one in the morning. Bless all your people watching via the internet. Bring us back tomorrow, dear God, in the final week of this series. In Jesus' name we pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry. International, we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.